flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL playoffs continue this week in AFC and NFC championship games, and obviously time for some best bets. It's a Friday, and joining us now, as she does every Friday, courtesy of the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline, it's our friend, the prop queen, Ariel Epstein. And Ariel, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. I got to start here. Obviously, people in this town are still trying to get over Sunday. How are you feeling about what happened Sunday evening?
Next question.
I'm just here to not get fined.
I've finally, I think, come out of depression. If you guys wanted, listen, I don't know why my friends, I guess my friends are really good friends and decided not to live stream or record my reactions to things. For a visual, I was at a bar in the city. I actually got a booth for about 6 or 7 friends. So we're in the front area where everyone's standing by the bar. I'm sitting in a corner of the booth, like back corner. And then it's the 2-point conversion time. I got so excited. I thought Andrews caught the ball that I'm jumping up and down in the booth. My friend looks at me and goes, "Are we watching the same game?"
Boy.
He dropped it. And I just sat down and put my head in my hands, and I just like sat there for a half hour. My friend finally said, "Hey, we're going to switch bars. You ready to move yet?" I said, "Yeah, let's just go." And yeah, it was pretty bad for 24 hours.
Jeez. Well, unfortunately, the playoffs have to move on without the Ravens. So let's get to your best bets for conference championship Sunday, starting with the early game, Eagles against the Commanders. Jaden Daniels coming off a really good game against the Lions, where, of course, Washington upset them. He threw for nearly 300 yards, but this is a tough Eagles defense. What prop do you like of his?
The quarterback for the Commanders, Jaden Daniels, goes his under 223.5 passing yards. So you mentioned he had one good game, one not great game. The not great game was 191 passing yards in Philadelphia. Philly, second least passing yards per game allowed this year. They have been so much better in their Achilles heel, the secondary. It's been their problem for the last 2 years, especially in the playoffs, and this year they fixed the problem. Just look back to November 1st. The Eagles have allowed for an average of 195 passing yards in that time. When you are division rivals and you're now facing a team for the third time, you have the experience of the Eagles, you're going to know how to get to the rookie. And again, the same reason I said last week's matchup for Washington against Detroit was a good matchup, because the Lions secondary was bad and you're not going to win with the Commanders running backs. It's Washington's quarterback, their rookie of the year, that's going to be the reason they would win games. Unfortunately, the matchup's not good for Daniels this week, so I'm going with the under on his passing yards.
Okay, so, and we know the Eagles, different caliber defense from Detroit, so there's that side of the equation. Then they're trying to tell me that Jalen Hurts is fine, and he practiced full in what was a glorified walkthrough, and I'm looking at video of him trying to drop back, and he looks like he's carrying a piano on his back.
And he says he's wearing a brace.
Yeah, so are you buying that he's full go, and therefore does that make you think a certain way about the total of this game?
Whether I buy that he's a full go or not doesn't matter in this matchup, because the problem with the Commanders' defense is their run D. And then you've got the best running back in football this year. Sorry, I know Derrick Henry is loved by all in Baltimore, but it really was Saquon Barkley's year this season, with a historic year. So you're going to get him exposing this bad run D. I'm going to go with the under in the game, 47.5. In fact, the over is what the public's on, and the total hasn't gone up the way other games usually do when you have so much action coming in on an over in a primetime game. I'm taking the under because the average total of these two teams combined is 44.8. So it's a three-point adjustment off the number based on recency bias with the last five games of each team. However, now you've got two teams that are in the same division playing a third time. We say this all the time in the NBA when you've got two teams playing on a back-to-back, playing each other for the same time twice in a week. Usually the second game, you know each other better defensively. So that's one. Two, the Eagles pass D much improved, so they'll limit Daniels, like I said. And the Eagles, when you're going to run the football, that means that you're going to run clock, which also means you don't have as much time to put up as many points. So I'm going with the under in a divisional rivalry. And again, this is the fourth time in the last two decades that we've seen teams play each other for the third time this late in the season.
We're talking to Ariel Epstein's Inside Access here on The Fan. What about the AFC Championship game, Ariel? What are you looking at here?
Funny story. After the Ravens lost, aside for me just sitting there and putting my hands in my head, I angry bet the Chiefs money line. It was minus 120. It's up to like minus 125, minus 130 now. Shockingly, the Bills are the public side this week. Everyone's on the Bills. The sportsbooks need the Chiefs, and they need them bad. People are starting to fade Mahomes again, thinking this is the Bills' season of destiny. Except the Chiefs, they're at home. They're 9-0 at home this year. The Chiefs also had to face Houston last week, which is a much better defense than Buffalo. Again, it wasn't an angry bet against the Bills in any way. I just don't see the Bills. Like, listen, against the Ravens, the Bills got, I don't want to say they got lucky, but they took advantage of situations that the Ravens continuously put themselves in all year, which is bad situations and shooting themselves in the foot. The Chiefs, they find ways to win, and they find ways to win in the playoffs. Patrick Mahomes, he's been really good at home, which also leads to the prop that I have on him, which is why I'm betting his over on his passing yards, because I looked at the last four or five games this year where Mahomes faced a team bottom 10 in pass D. He's averaged 286 passing yards in those games, going over 250 passing yards in four of the five starts this year. Now let's go to Buffalo. Patrick Mahomes against Buffalo since 2020 is averaging 277.5 passing yards. He has had over 320 passing yards in two of the three playoff games against Buffalo. Now, he only had 196 in Buffalo this regular season. Typically, when we see Patrick Mahomes face a team one time this year and he has a low amount of passing yards, he tends to have a high number of passing yards in game two against this Buffalo D that allows the ninth most passing yards per game. I'm taking the Chiefs, and I'm taking a big game from Patrick Mahomes over 249.5 passing yards.
Ariel Epstein, let the people know where they can find you.
Check me out here every Friday and all over social media at Ariel Epstein and the Prop Queen.
Ariel, keep your head up. We're going to get through this. It's the journey that matters, right?
Are we?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I go O's.
Yes, well, we're Yankees for you. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Thanks.
It's Best Bets with Beltway Ben Hall on 105.7 The Fan.
The quickest trigger in the West, it's Ben Hall and Beltway Ben. What are you looking at this weekend?
Yes, for do NBA for today. I like Tyrese Maxey over 28.5 points at plus 100 and over 3.5 three-pointers made. In the last seven, Cleveland's allowing 26.41 points per game to opposing point guard, which is the most in the NBA, and then 3.8 three-pointers made per game to opposing point guards, which is the fourth most in the NBA. Cleveland's offense is carrying them. Embiid's still out. He's pulling off a pretty big heist in Philly since signing the three-year, $193 million deal. I've had about the same impact as he has on that team, and Ken knows that.
Oh.
But Maxey shoots a lot of three-pointers at home.
Got through the Olympics, though, Ben.
He did play in the Olympics, played a huge part in getting that gold medal, Christmas he fell over the rope or whatever you want to call it, and he's been out ever since.
Yeah, it's been fun.
But Maxey's over this in six of his last eight games, and I think he has a good matchup to do so again tonight. Next play is Jaren Jackson, over 6.5 rebounds. Pelicans are allowing a ton of boards to opposing bigs. Jackson's finished with 8 the last time these two matched up. Ja's expected to be out, so this game should be closer than the spread says. And it's hard to discount blowouts in the NBA, but I do still think this game is relatively close. The last play for tonight, Jeremy Grant, over 14.5 points. I took it yesterday. He finished with 12. I'm going back to it again today. He had a bunch of easy looks in that matchup that he missed. In the last 7 games, Charlotte's allowing 23.66 points per game to opposing power forwards, 6th most in the NBA in that time frame. And this is another matchup that should be close. And then for tomorrow in the NBA, whatever Wemby prop you can get, points or rebounds, I would take. He's playing in Paris. I did it yesterday. They cashed. I think it'll do it again tomorrow. These guys are playing a little bit longer in those games despite the score. I think the Pacers will keep this one a little closer, but even if not, I think they let Wemby play a lot in front of his home crowd. So I like his props on Saturday.
Let the people know where they can find you.
At BH Journalist on Twitter. I'll be doing a stream tomorrow for basketball plays and then Sunday for the conference championship plays.
Awesome. Coming up next, tough act to follow, Bone. It's T-Bone time. TMI with TIM. What you got?
Just heard Ariel Epstein's best bets for conference championship Sunday. Well, we'll give you our best bets for those two games next.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Next on the Fan.
It's T-Bone time, TMI with TIM, and the floor is yours.
Best bets for conference championship Sunday in the NFL, and we're going to start with the Commanders. I am taking them to cover that 6-point spread, and I think they have a very realistic shot at winning this football game. We were just talking about Jalen Hurts not being 100% there, but the biggest key to this game is, can they slow down Saquon Barkley? First matchup in Week 11. Had 146 yards, 2 touchdowns. Second matchup, had 150 yards and 2 touchdowns. So can they do enough there? And you get back to that Week 16 game where Jaden Daniels, and they were able to put up 36 points on crybaby Vic Fangio's defense, and that was despite turning the ball over 5 times in that football game. And I know Jalen Hurts got knocked out of that game very early on. Kenny Pickett played the bulk of it, but to win a game against the Eagles and put up that many points where you've turned the ball over 5 times is incredible. I think they are very much a live dog in that game. My other plays, I like Austin Eckler over on his receiving yards. It's set at 24.5 receiving yards. He didn't play in the first matchup against Philly. He did play that second game in which he had 8 catches for 89 yards. He's averaging around 30.5 yards receiving per game on the season. And I think he's going to hit that total against Philly. And then my final play, I like Josh Allen over on his rushing yards. Big number, I get it, 48.5 yards. He didn't run the ball at all, pretty much, against the Ravens. But in his games, postseason games, against the Chiefs, he averages, he's ran for at least 68 yards in the 3 one-off.
Missed opportunity.
In his 3 postseason games against Kansas City. So very much clearing that total. His personal high ran for 88 yards in that AFC Championship loss. So in a must-have situation against Kansas City, I think Josh Allen's going to lean into his legs a heck of a lot more than he did against the Ravens. So my 3 plays, I got the Commanders plus 6 against Philly. I got Austin Eckler over on his receiving prop at 24.5 receiving yards, and Josh Allen over on his rushing prop at 48.5 rushing yards.
So I'm kind of with you with some stuff. I took the Commanders plus 6. I do think they're going to keep this game close. I do like Josh Allen's rushing prop as well. We talked about that on Bounce Back Fallback the other day. I like the Chiefs minus 2. It's the Arrowhead Invitational. The Bills have not yet gotten over the hump, just like the Ravens have trouble getting over the hump. I think that will continue. I do kind of like Saquon. What was it? 120? I can't read my handwriting. 120-something?
129.5, I want to say. 129.5.
But like, I looked at last week, and I'm like, he's not going to run all over the Rams again. And then he did, because he's going to have a big run or two. I think the Commanders have a shot to win this game, but I do think Saquon has a big game, so I'll take his over.
I love Kansas City Chiefs money line. Patrick Mahomes is 16-3 in the playoffs. That's really all you need to know. Buffalo's 0-7, straight up 1-6 against the spread, their last 7 road playoff games. And Josh Allen's last 3 meetings against Steve Spagnuolo, he owned him the first 5 meetings, 14 passing touchdowns. Lit him up when he blitzed him. But the last 3 times they've played, Josh Allen has a 79.3 rating against Spags, just 5.6 yards per attempt. It's been a problem for him. I love Patrick Mahomes over 1.5 passing touchdowns. Patrick Mahomes is going into his 20th playoff game. He's never gone 2 straight playoff games without throwing at least 2 passing touchdowns. He threw 1 last week. I think this Buffalo defense, frankly, in a lot of ways, is not as good as Houston's, especially in the pass rush. I think with the state of the Chiefs running game being kind of all over the place, I think Mahomes throws for 2 in this game. I also love Patrick Mahomes' longest completion over 34.5 yards. The Bills' safeties are a problem right now.
Give me
the Commanders' money line. The Commanders to win. You can get 6.5 out there, and I'm not saying don't do that. And Jalen Hurts is only 2-10-2 his last 14 games against the spread as a favorite of 6 points or more. 2-10-2. Jaden Daniels is 5-1-1 his last 7 as a dog. 5-2 straight up. His last 7 as a dog. I think Washington's got the better quarterback. I think Washington's the healthier team. And I don't think they fear going to Philadelphia. I love Jaden Daniels over 10.5 rushing attempts in that game. He's over this in 4 of the last 5. 29 rushes the last 2 games. And I love Austin Eckler over 23.5 receiving yards.
Oh, you with the ball, Beltway Ben?
I'm going to go Eagles minus 6.5. Only one here going with the Eagles. Ooh. I just think the trenches is going to be the difference maker. Cosme going down's big. They're going to have Trent Scott playing guard. He's played a lot of tackle in his career, and Jalen Carter is a game wrecker from the inside. I think that'll show. And then on offense, I think Barkley's going to be too much for him. Lions were kind of forced to get away from Jahmyr Gibbs. I don't think that'll happen with Philly. I do think Jaden Daniels is the much better quarterback in this game, but I'm still going with the Eagles minus 6.5. And then I'm going Chiefs money line. Joe Brady disgusted me last week. If you watch that from a football standpoint, getting away from the Ravens, if you watch from a football standpoint, they played so tight in the second half and played not to lose rather than to win. Kansas City, I don't think, will make the mistakes that Baltimore did. Mahomes in the playoffs is always a fun bet, and getting it at this number, I can't pass up on. I do like Barkley. Barkley right now in FanDuel is 125.5 rushing yards. I like him. I was looking between Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. I might take A.J. Brown to score a touchdown. And then in the Bills-Chiefs game, you're going to see everywhere it's probably the most bet play around Travis Kelce's receiving yards. I'm going with it. Him and Mahomes have this connection, and it always shows up in the playoffs. We saw it last week. Bills have struggled a little bit against tight ends. If Andrews, you know, holds on to some things, he's got an even bigger day that he already did, because he did go over his number as it was. So I like Kelce's receiving yards.
Let the people know once again where they can find you, Beltway Ben.
At BH Journalist on Twitter, we will be streaming Sunday morning. Ken loves the streams.
I do.
We will be streaming.
I don't cross them, but I love them.
Sunday morning before the games.
Yeah, it's Beltway Ben Hall, BH Journalist on Twitter. Hey, coming up next, Let's talk some football with our friend Aditi Kinkabwala from CBS. She knows the AFC North as well as anybody. What does she think about the Ravens losing last week, about the Steelers, about the Bengals, about the Browns, and about these football games? Aditi joins us next here on The Fan. AFC and NFC championship games are this weekend. You can hear them right here on 105.7 The Fan, Westwood One's coverage. The season is over for all the teams in the AFC North, but it is a perfect time to head out to the Window Nation fan guest hotline and talk to our friend Aditi Kinkabwala from CBS Sports. And Aditi, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. So let's look back on Sunday, shall we? And it's another example of the Ravens beating themselves as they lose in Buffalo. What did you think of that football game Sunday evening?
I mean, heartbreaking for the Ravens for exactly the reasons that you're saying. Why is it that they beat themselves?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what else to say. And I'll be honest, I was sitting next to my son, who is a massive Bills fan. And when Lamar fumbled that ball, I said, Lamar, what are you doing? And my son got pretty upset with me. Huh. And I was like, Nico, I'm just talking about the football. He's like, you promised you wouldn't root. And I said, I'm just talking about how you play the game. That's it. And it was also so, so heartbreaking. It remains heartbreaking for me that Mark Andrews has to sort of go through this. And I don't mean go through what the fans say or any of that. I just mean he himself. No one will make him feel worse than he will make himself feel. And I just hate that he's in that position. He is one of the all-time good guys and deserves to celebrate in every way possible and not instead do the opposite, which is what's happening right now.
And then in the life comes at you fast department, guys are cleaning out their stuff and throwing it into baggies, and we start looking forward already. And if nothing else, they've got a tremendous leg up on the rest of this division. No, I mean, like, just in terms of consistency, cohesion, they don't have many big free agents. DaCosta's like, I don't have a whole lot of work to do re-signing guys. Yeah. Like, it sounds like they're going to move off of Ronnie Stanley, but, you know, and Brandon Stevens, but most of these dudes are back. Looks like Todd Monken's going to be able to stay. Zach Orr is a year older, right? Meanwhile, Pittsburgh, who's the quarterback? Cleveland, forget about it. Where are they even going to play? Are they going to get a stadium? And then Cincinnati, you know, they're rebuilding a defense that was pretty broken.
Yeah, and what they'll have a new, you know, they'll have to call an entire, they'll have to set a new defense. And you're right. And the Steelers are not just a quarterback away.
Yeah.
They're a bit more than just a quarterback. And the Browns quarterback question, I don't know why, but it feels like it's an even bigger question than the Steelers. I don't know why, because in theory, they're both in the same boat. But the point is made by players every year that you never really run it back and that no 2 years are exactly the same. Look, let's just stay in the division. The Browns had an absolutely dominant defense a year ago. They're seemingly bringing everybody back. Jim Schwartz is back, and you think they'll even be better, and they struggled a lot early. So there are no guarantees by any means, but you do get a feeling that as much as I say, you should never say run it back, you do feel like the Ravens are in good position. And, you know, we've seen this a lot, teams that are sort of on the cusp, and then they finally break through. And it's time. It's time for the Ravens to break through. I hate that that game was a divisional game. I would have loved to have seen that game be the AFC championship game. I don't know. It's hard. You know, it just makes me think of, you know, all those years, poor Patrick Ewing. He always had to go through Michael Jordan. And, you know, in the AFC.
Charles Barkley, same
thing. With these quarterbacks, it's just kind of like, I don't know, in a different era, you could have seen Josh Allen win so much. You could have seen Lamar Jackson have won by now. You know, it's, but I haven't lost faith. I don't think that it's not possible. And I think the biggest thing is we maybe don't give enough credit to John Harbaugh and the coaching that he does, the way that he coaches his coaches, the way that he helps his coaches. You know, you mentioned Zach Orr earlier, and I'll tell you guys, I think bringing in Dean Pease is one of the most undertold stories
Absolutely.
Of the National Football League. I just think that was such a stroke of brilliance. Instead of embarrassing or maligning his incredibly young and unseasoned defensive coordinator, he thinks, how do I help him? And he goes and he gets a guy that the Ravens organization knows inside out that has never, ever been about ego in Dean Pease, who, in fact, was a person who had a great relationship with Zach Orr when Zach was a player. And we saw the difference. We saw how that defense got better and changed. And I just thought that John Harbaugh is always a guy that you kind of feel makes those calls. And they may be subtle, but they're really helping his team. And then the other piece, too, is that he evolves. As long as he's been there, he's evolved. His ideas on offense, what he wants to do on offense. You know, another great coaching decision was Todd Monken, right?
Yes.
I mean, he said to us a few years ago that there are all these system guys out there, all these Shanahan McVay system guys, but I have a quarterback who's not a system guy, so why would I bring in a system coordinator? That was brilliant. Obviously, he's got a great relationship with Greg Roman, who's now with his brother, but he knows when he needs to move on. It's just like all those years ago when he had to move on from Cam Cameron to, I'm not saying that right. I just screwed something up.
They did move on from Cam Cameron.
Yeah, they did.
Okay, that's right, to go to Jim Caldwell. This is the time of year where I'm like, I'm mixing up people's names. Or
I do it every day.
Conflating a first name with the last name.
I can't call any of my dogs by their correct name. And they're multiple genders. And I still can't call. And like, so yeah.
I called my son by my brother's name, then my husband's name, then my daughter's name. And I finally got his name.
I'm right there with you.
Mommy, I'm your firstborn. And it was like, yes, you are. But anyway, okay. And then the other thing, so about John Harbaugh, this is a big conversation here in Pittsburgh where I live. And that's the whole Bill Walsh idea that every 10 years you sort of, you know, like, you know this, right? Bill Walsh used to say that every 10 years your message kind of gets stale. Mm-hmm. And if you're an executive, if you're a leader, then it's probably best for your organization and for you as the executive in 10 years to move on. And in fact, a few years ago when Theo Epstein was leaving the Cubs, it was right around 10 years, maybe 9 years. He, I think, quoted Bill Walsh in this and said, you know, I don't want to get to that 10-year mark. And the reason, so in Pittsburgh, this is really a big deal. Mike Tomlin hasn't won a playoff game in 8 years. There's this, is his message stale? As great as a coach as he is it just time for him to move on from here? Is this kind of like an Andy Reid leaves Philly and goes somewhere else and he's a great coach, but it was just time to move on? That's sort of like the chatter in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
But I think about John Harbaugh, who's been there just 1 year less, right, than Mike Tomlin. That's correct.
Yep. Yes. Yep.
Yes.
17 years he's there. But he is evolving with the times. He's not running back the same exact messaging, the same exact philosophy on offense, the same exact way that he reacts and responds to players in a locker room. When he had an older veteran-laden team, he was different than he was when he had a younger team. When he had an older quarterback who was maybe way more level, he's a little bit different than he is with Lamar Jackson. That, to me, is such a sign of a great coach, someone who adapts and adjusts, doesn't lose their core tenets, but reads the room. You know, I just got off the phone with somebody who was telling me, a coach, a high-level coach in the league, who just said Pete Carroll in Vegas, said he thinks Pete Carroll in Vegas will go down as one of the all-time great hires.
Really?
But I say that because, again, Pete
Carroll.
He's
going to coach till he's 100.
Yeah, here's what I say. How long is he going to live?
Yeah.
He's going to outlive Jimmy Carter,
again,
maybe.
Again, like, he's a guy that doesn't play his age. He's a guy that isn't afraid to sort of evolve and change his message and grow and recognize the times for what they are.
Well, Aditi, before we let you go, what's your Super Bowl matchup? Who wins the NFC championship? Who wins the AFC championship?
I mean, I don't know, but I'll tell you that. I shouldn't even say this. I don't know if I'm allowed
say
to
it.
Say this.
Why not? What do you mean? Not?
Technically, are you allowed? I will say this, though. So every time in my life when I've said that the Chiefs won't win, the Chiefs have won. So I would love to see the Bills win because I think Bills Mafia is one of the all-time best fan bases. I think that their loyalty through all of the suffering is amazing. I think the way that they show up at the airport at 3 a.m. in a driving snowstorm, I think the way that they clear out that stadium, I just love Bills Mafia. I think they deserve it. And there's a piece of me that's like, yes, I appreciate all that the Chiefs are doing, but it would be nice to have a little bit new blood.
Yeah.
But every time I say, like last year, I said the Bills would beat the Chiefs and the Chiefs won. Then I said the Ravens would beat the Chiefs and then the Chiefs won. So I'm not giving you a prediction, okay? I'm
just
telling you that I think it would be nice to see the Bills win.
A change of pace.
And yeah.
Then our friend couldn't call them the City of Losers anymore.
That's
our
right.
friend, Dr. Jerry Aloysius Coleman, could no longer refer to them as the City of Losers if they won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, Sean McDermott said City
ballsy,
of Winners.
Right? And then admitting that to Coach Harbaugh that that's what he did?
Well,
that,
if you don't know Jerry.
If you knew him, Aditi.
It's very self-serving.
It's
the whole
brand.
Thing was master manipulation.
Clearly. Okay. And then the other side, I mean, I grew up a Giants fan, guys.
So,
okay.
You hate both.
So what does that mean?
It's a hate watch.
In that game, and that's the only thing that would make it worse, right?
Yeah.
Well, but again, if we're talking about long-suffering fan bases, it would be nice for the Commanders fans, mm-hmm. who've obviously been through a lot through the Dan Snyder era, which Jason knows very, very, well.
That was a time.
And Dan Quinn is one of those all-time good guys, too, you know? And I really, really, really like Jaden Daniels.
Me too.
But again, I'm not making a pick.
Hey, Aditi, real quick question before I let you go. Is George Pickens a Steeler next year?
Oh, gosh. it depends on who makes the call on that. Is it Art Rooney or is it Mike Tomlin? Tomlin just has endless patience. But I'll tell you this. You can have patience for players to turn the corner, but you need to be aware enough to recognize when certain players are toxic to your locker room and detrimental to the cause at large. And George Pickens has proven to be both of
those.
Wow. So how much longer
ship them out.
Waiting?
Yeah. Nah, Aditi, you're the best. Thank you so much for
Thank
your time
you very
as always.
Much.
Thanks for having me, guys.
If we had more time, we'd ask you about Deontay Johnson.
Yes,
abstaining like a Raven.
Yeah, he's fun.
Raven for life, Deontay Johnson.
See you, Aditi.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye.
Hey, coming up next, we get back to the Ravens.
Wow. He's way too smart for that.
He's at least consistent, Deontay Johnson.
Yeah.
Same stuff he was doing here, he was doing in Houston. Ah, Derrick Henry. What do we expect next year? Can he have an encore performance? We'll tell you next here on The Fan.
Well, some people, I mean, I think Jerry thought he was over the hill last year, but I think he proved that he had a lot left in the tank. And I'm sorry, Jerry, I couldn't resist. I'm just so grateful that Derek chose us last year, came in and just, I can honestly say, like, his attitude and the way that he played was amazing to watch. And just his relationship with his teammates, his humility as a player, his work ethic. Can't wait to see him next year.
Nobody enjoyed Aloysius taking a shot in that quote more than Aloysius did. As somehow Derrick Henry's discussion got a punch to the gut to Dr. Jerry Aloysius Coleman, saying he was over the hill. Derrick Henry's first year in Baltimore, all he did was rush for 1,921 yards and have his best yards per carry of his career, second best yardage season of his career. So he's now 31 years old. What do we see him doing for an encore here in Baltimore beyond getting probably an extension?
Well, I don't think, if you include the playoffs, this guy ran 367 times for 2,191 yards at 6 yards per carry at age 30. He had 19 rushing touchdowns in 19 total games. I don't think it's fair to expect that next year. I don't think it would have been fair to expect that in year one.
No.
He proved to be incredibly durable. He proved to be incredibly pliable going through the various machinations they went through running the ball, from trying to meet him halfway to him trying to meet them halfway to, you know, evolving and eventually ending up back in the pistol much more after the bye than before the bye. Yeah, I don't think you have to necessarily think about having him on a pitch count, but I also think, you know, there's a lot of chatter out there about an extension.
That's what I alluded to that, tossing to you. And Eric kind of said they're going to look at extending him.
The only reason they would do that is to lower the number this year. That's
but that's
the only
that's
reason.
A restructure. Like, extension to me implies real guaranteed money in future years other than what he has right now. Don't you think when this goes, it falls apart?
It's
like, don't you think this
back.
Is Christian Okoye? But I think it's even different for a back this big who runs that upright, who, I don't know, man.
Here's the crazy thing, though, and I'm with you 1,000%, but he showed zero. We thought, and Jason, we've been doing the show since COVID. I think you've been on this is the year Derrick Henry falls off the wagon every year.
Every year.
But every year he comes back and he, like, I'm not going to bet against him after what he just did. Like, I'm not
betting against him, but I'm not doubling down on it continuing.
Yeah, yeah.
Beyond
because
another year.
This isn't normal.
It was the most rushing yards ever by a running back age 30 or older. Now, realistic expectations for him next year, I think a big boost for him is there won't be that adjustment period that there was the first two, three, four games of the season this year where he's used to playing in this offense now. He's used to playing with Lamar Jackson. But I think to expect 1,900 yards, 18 total touchdowns, I don't know how realistic that is. But 1,500 yards, you brought up that number
earlier.
Double-digit
touchdowns?
Yeah, I think that that's very real.
He, including the playoffs, has 2,355 carries in his career.
Yeah. But on the flip side, he's not slowing down. And I can guarantee you in about a month, we're going to see videos of him doing freakish things in the gym because we see it every single year.
We have seen running backs fall off a cliff. I am not betting on him to fall off a cliff next year. Now, is there going
to be some slow? Well, if he got hurt, he would miss.
Sure.
His production would fall off a cliff.
That's how it happens.
That's how it would happen. But I'm not betting.
I think Bone's implying he shows up a step slow.
Exactly.
He's had at least 215 regular season carries every year since 2018.
Jason, here's what I know. We watched that game against the Bills. In the first half, you mentioned it on Monday. He looked a little like tentative, whatever.
Tippy toe.
In the second half, he's running over them in the last playoff game. Like, if they don't turn the ball over, if Andrew doesn't turn the ball over around midfield, he might run for a touchdown later in that drive. They were destroying them, and a lot of it was Henry. Now, the last drive, they're in the two-minute drill. They can't have him on the field. That's Justice Hill time. But he was still doing Derrick Henry stuff in the second half of that football game.
Yeah, and I wonder if we talked earlier in the show about, you know, we heard the clip from Harbs about constantly evolving and innovation and whatever. I do wonder if next year, one thing that I never really saw this year, and I kept asking for it and waiting for it, was more hurry up, more cadence, more attacking a defense that way. And you do more of that with Justice Hill, and you're throwing more out of that, and Justice Hill is way better in pass protection. I wonder if that's something they do. Buffalo did it to them, did it against them, and it was a problem. You see a lot of teams do. Washington's doing it almost exclusively in the playoffs.
Well, Ken brought this up earlier. I always thought that this year was going to be a redshirt year for Keaton Mitchell, but another full year recovered from that knee. If Keaton Mitchell could be somewhat back to what he was in 2023, then really watch out at that point.
I don't know if they trust him in pass protection at all, though. So I don't think.
But him getting those touches and the explosiveness.
They didn't trust him in pass protection 2 years
exactly.
ago. When he was
yeah, but that's part of the reason why every week we're like, this is the week he gets
sure.
more, and he never did.
This year was always going to be tough for him. I mean, coming in the middle of it, not having any training camp, not having any ramp up at all. He's coming in into the middle of the season when this offense is really humming. It was always going to be tough for him this year.
But, I mean, look, does this guy run for over 5 yards a carry next year? Probably. Yeah. Does he run for 1,500 yards?
And 10 touchdowns?
Probably. Maybe even more touchdowns. I don't see a vulture coming in, and I don't see them wanting Lamar to do more of that. So the touchdowns, if anything. I mean, the year before that, Gus had 13 touchdowns. Yeah. So I don't think the touchdowns would be the thing I'd fade the least.
The crazy thing is you look at that Steelers game, the shorter touchdown run, the way he smelled the end zone on that. Like, guys, that was at 8 yards, I think, and he's just carrying people into the end zone at 31 years old.
Crazy.
Coming up next, let's get to some baseball, shall we? We haven't talked to our friend Mike Bordick, Oriole Hall of Famer, part of our Baltimore Baseball Tonight crew. What does he think of the Orioles offseason so far? Well, he's going to tell us next here on The Fan.